Well, joining us now in the musical chairs that is this studio is Kane Thornton from the Clean Energy Council. Now, Kane Thornton, what did you make of the package that was announced this morning?
Eleanor, good afternoon. Look, the package from the perspective of the renewable energy industry is really great news. It provides a lot of certainty for investors in renewable energy technologies. And we also think using some of the funding from a price on pollution to also direct that towards both renewable energy and energy efficiency is the right thing to do and will be a great upside for the renewable energy industry in Australia.
The Productivity Commission report recently said that the most inefficient part of dealing with climate change was directly funding things like renewable energy. Doesn't this just do that again?
Oh, look, I think firstly, a price on carbon is well accepted as the lowest cost and most efficient way to achieve a given level of pollution reduction. So I think that's really a fundamental. But I think what we need to consider is that over the long term, we will need a whole range of low emission renewable energy technology sources. There's absolutely no doubt about that in Australia. We currently have a very high carbon pollution footprint from our energy generation sector. We need to move off that and we need to move to a whole range of low emission generation sources. And unless government plays some role in investing in those early stage technologies, We have a real competitive advantage in a lot of these technologies. We've got great geothermal resources, we've got great ocean energy resources and also solar resources, and we think it's really sensible to inject some additional funding into those technologies so they can prove themselves, so they can come down in cost, and so that in the years to come we've got a whole suite of these technologies to really deploy right around Australia.
Can these industries though survive in the longer term without government subsidies?
Look, we believe they can. We've already seen solar as an example. The costs in solar technology have come down considerably, and we think it's only a matter of time before these technologies reach what's called grid parity. That's effectively the same price as other generation sources, and we think it's only a matter of time. So this is really short to medium term funding. While those technologies are proven, they come down in their costs and then they can compete in their own right.
Stephen Long, our economics correspondent, do you think that the government is justified economically in putting so much money into these funds?
Well, I think that there is a case for saying that you have to find a way to encourage these industries. Now, the most efficient way is to actually have a price on carbon, and they're doing that. But there's also a case to say you can create incentives for investment in alternatives that are less polluting. So yes, that's the case. The difficulty for the government beyond that is really going to be explaining their package, I think. The big issue in this, the incentives are going to work to shift investment over time towards less polluting industries. If they can keep the package in place politically, the problem they've had, Eleanor, is that at the moment the perception of the public is that it's a tax on them, not a tax on polluters, that they're paying the money, and people don't understand that the alternative plan from the coalition, the direct action plan, they're talking $30 billion in compensation to effectively polluting industries, about $720 per taxpayer coming out of the federal budget. The government's been completely unable to communicate that. So I guess what I'm saying is one way or another, both sides of politics are looking at subsidies and compensation. If you're going to have subsidies and compensation, even though it's less efficient than a price mechanism, it's better to have them for renewables than the polluting industries.
Yes, Sabra, that's an interesting point that Stephen raises, isn't it? Why is the government finding it so hard to sell this as a tax on the carbon polluters, not on the whole population?
Well, it's just not an issue exclusively to this alone. The government's had problems explaining a whole range of policies. Someone's described it to me as the anti-Midas touch. Everything that they've touched has just gone to jelly. So it's not just this issue alone that they have a job of being poor salesmen and women. But we heard already today in that press conference, they kept banging that message, clean energy future. And that, I think that's going to be their slogan for selling this whole package, and we'll see that in the weeks and months ahead. It's interesting, you talked about the direct action methods. I think the opposition's going to claim a little bit of credit in one of the elements announced today. The government is going to seek to negotiate the closure of 2,000 megawatts of high-intensity energy. We can read between the lines there and say that they're probably aiming at Hazelwood in Victoria and Playford, another coal-fired dirty generator, so-called, in South Australia. now going to negotiate with those companies, probably to try and close them down. That's exactly what the Coalition had proposed to do in its direct action policy.